With us, you can turn over to James, the first chapter and the first verse here. James 1 and 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, barring the mistakes I made, that's reading the first three verses here in James. And the thought that's on my heart this morning is faith. And I really enjoy and the things that the older brother told me when I started out preaching. I believe it was Brother Don Curtis said this over to ministry school. He said, you can start out preaching on repentance and faith and you'll put them to sleep if you're not careful. But let me tell you something. As he said there, during that lesson, I believe it was that he taught at the minister school, faith and repentance are two very deep subjects. And I'll tell you something, that I've been in the ministry now for over 20 years, and I still study both of these subjects. And faith is a very complex thing if you want to get it right according to the Bible. And we'll try to take a few minutes of time here we'll go into this. But if you're here and lost, there's a part of this. The Lord took me to kind of cover that this morning. But the main part of the message is for the saved, actually. You say, well, what do we need to know about faith? Oh, you need to know a lot about faith, let me just tell you. But I want you to pay attention. And not only that word, but in the second verse it says, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it. Mark it down. That the trying of your faith worketh patience. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Trouble is going to come whenever you start exercising your faith as a saved person. Let's go over to start with over in the Ephesian letters, over in the second chapter. And we'll go down here to, I'll start off reading here in the seventh verse. It says that in the ages to come, we might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Now, I want you to know this, and we, brothers and sisters, I'm going to be honest with you. I see trends coming as a preacher. We have people out there. We have some that are venturing out on the edges of Calvinism. What do you mean by that? I mean that people are starting to get back into the thought that God is going to, He knows the ones He's going to save, and that's the ones He's going to save, and that's it. And I don't believe that doctrine. That's that was pretty prominent back a long time ago. I tell you, there was a lot of Baptist ministers that believed that and stuff. But let me tell you something. I don't believe that God picked who He's going to save. I believe He picked the plan of salvation. And that plan of salvation is the whenever it talks about us being predestinated. In fact, over here in the Ephesians 1, he said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Adopt that predestinated there. What was predestinated was, is Jesus was going to come to this world and die and pay the price for our sins. You will find that in Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, when he talks about the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. They decided God is not restrained by time. He can look through time and He can see what's going to happen. But that doesn't mean He forces things to happen. There's a difference in that. And see, God looked through time and he saw in the garden, he saw Adam sinning and men falling from the holy state that he placed them in. Not in a, Adam didn't fall from grace, but he needed grace after he fell. I mean, he fell from a holy state. Adam and Eve were made perfect without sin. And until that day in the garden, whenever that was, we don't have a time frame there. They took and did what God told them not to do. And some people don't see this, but I do. You see, there was unbelief there. What do you mean there was unbelief there? God said, you're not to eat of that tree. And if you eat of that tree, you're going to surely die. How many of you will take and go and get something that's poison and drink it? Well, that's what God saw them doing. They didn't believe. They were essentially calling him a liar. And when they did that, they lost the holy state that they were created in. And there was a need of a fix for that. There was no way that Adam and Eve could get back on their own. There was a need for a Savior, see? And whenever God come on the scene there, he preached about the seed of the woman being singular. Paul expounds upon that in the Roman letter, I believe it is, that he was talking about seed as in singular, and that was Christ, let me just tell you. God preached to Adam and Eve Jesus in the garden. That's what he preached. And what do you say here? Here in the Ephesian letter, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is a gift of God." Now, let me tell you something. The message that we preach and the church holds up about Jesus, I'm telling you, sinners have to believe that. Paul, you look at him on the road to Damascus, he had heard the message about Jesus over there whenever Stephen was stoned that day. Stephen preached to him about Jesus, you see. And I believe there was some little part of faith that was in him that received the message that day. I believe Paul was sincere. I believe he was sincere when he was persecuting the church. He thought he was doing right, even though he was wrong, you see. But he heard the truth. I believe that truth got added over the days after that he heard the message from Stephen that he preached. I believe that he added to that with the testimony of the people that he was imprisoning and having put to death. The church was testifying to him as he was arresting them. That faith had, you see, and as we look over here, let me go and see if I can find it over in the Roman letter, because I think it's something that I come across a few years ago here. Paul said in the 16th verse, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel, the good news about Jesus, is the power of God and the salvation. We have to lift Jesus up and tell about him. It says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." I'm going to get to that last part there, hopefully, the Lord will, in a minute. But he says, God is revealed from faith to faith. That those that have a saving faith need to tell the ones that just have a carnal faith about Jesus, let me just tell you. We need to tell them the story. And faith is not just a hope and just something. And we'll cover that, hopefully. Why did I go here to this Ephesian letter? Because by grace are you saved through faith. The faith that it takes for you to be saved is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. Are you saying that the sinners, they just need to wait on God? No, I'm not. I'm not. In fact, I believe it's in the 40th Psalms over here. It covers that very well. You say, "Well, the Old Testament, that's all over with." No, it's not. It's recorded. The psalmist here in the 40th Psalms, he said, "I waited patiently for the Lord. So he was just waiting for him to save him? No. That's not what it says. You got to read the rest of that. I waited patiently for the Lord. You can't make it happen. You can't decide that you're going to get saved because God is involved in this. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined unto me and he heard my cry. You see, he couldn't make it happen. He had to be patient with the Lord. You see, God was taking and dealing with him. He was crying out to him. He was in trouble. That's godly sorrow. And without that, you won't get saved. Let me just tell you. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. And that's another gift from God is repentance. And it says here, he brought me up out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. That's a similar thing that I experienced when I got saved. You see, it wasn't something he did to my flesh. It was something he did to my soul on the inside. You see, he reached down that night and when I'd repented of everything I could possibly repent of, and when I believed with everything that I had in me, it wasn't enough, let me just tell you. You see, it took divine intervention from God. It took his grace to come down that night and give me the repentance that I needed in salvation and the faith that I needed to believe in the salvation. You see, God's intimately involved. If you've ever been saved in your salvation, you're saying that he just decided when you get saved. No, I'm telling you, if you don't repent and believe to the best of your ability, you never will. But when you do it to the best of your ability, you're going to fall short. Let me just tell you, it takes him to come in there and to finish it up because you don't have what it takes to believe to the fullness of your salvation of your soul. God has to intervene there. That's what it takes. And we need to be, you see, as a preacher, I realize my limitations. And I've seen this once, and I've had to stop a person on the altar because it was like it was a basketball game and trying to coach somebody to believe in into heaven. You can't do that, let me just tell you. We need to encourage them all to pray with everything they've got and to repent with everything they've got. But we have to realize that there's a God part of that. He'll do it in his time for his honor and glory. And that has to happen. You can't push them because they can make themselves believe in the salvation. They got to get to the point they become helpless and hopeless and ask God for help. But now go everything else. They have to tell God, I can't do it. The one I read this morning, I believe it's, I remember from Matthew 16, the man had come asking Jesus to help his son. And he said, the Lord asked him, said, you believe? He said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. You see, that's what you got to have, sinner friend. Whenever you get down to the point, and I'll tell you this too, and we need to realize this as saved individual, but this lost, let me tell you something. Prayer's a two-way message system. It's just like the telephone. When you're praying, you can listen too. God can tell you. He can talk to you and let you know. How do you know that? Why do you come and pray? Because you know something. You need to talk to the God Almighty. Let me just tell you, there's something you feel on the inside. That's a real thing. It's real. Now, let's go over to the Hebrew letter now. Over there to the 11th chapter. This is the book of faith. And there's a lot in this. Here in the 11th chapter, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Substance. See, my faith ain't just something, you know, I got faith that my boss gonna show up at work tomorrow. I got faith of that. But that ain't that type of faith I'm talking about. You see, I got a faith in Jesus Christ that's built on substance, let me just tell you. There the night that I got in trouble and I repented and they come down and my final prayer was, and the last thing I remember before he saved my soul, I said, Lord, if you'll just save me, you can take me right now if you'll just save my soul before I step into eternity. That's when, you see, I was done surrendered. I'd give up. I was willing to give my own life if he just saved me. That's when I experienced the grace that him standing down in peace coming in my heart. What I experienced that night was real. I didn't tell it for 2 years. And why didn't you tell it for 2 years? Because I'd been raised in the Missionary Baptist Church. It was a serious thing. I was afraid if I told them and I wasn't really saved, I wouldn't be able to do it again. I wouldn't be able to get there to get saved if I was wrong. It was a serious thing because it was a life, death, life, hell situation. And I held on to it, didn't tell my mama until 2 years later. And people say, well, you doubted. Yep, and it took me to a few years ago to come up with how to explain that. You know what? I doubted if that was it. But I never doubted something happened that night. Something happened that night. Something had never happened again and won't have to happen again. Something happened because I was in all kinds of trouble. And whenever that time that I prayed that prayer, it was like everything went blank. And I felt like it was white. You don't have to see that. Because you know the most important thing when I come back to myself, and I can tell you even more about that, but when I come back to myself, you know what? That trouble that was in my heart was gone. Peace was in my heart.
Amen.
The peace, and see, I couldn't get away from that. That peace came in, and the more bad as I wanted to pray, I couldn't pray like I did. I went right back to trying to pray right then because I wanted to get saved. I couldn't because what I was praying about was done taken care of. God didn't answer my prayer. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I've never seen God with my physical eyes. But you know something? One of these days I will. Maybe not these eyes, but I'm going to get a new body one of these days that can see with the eyes that God gives me. It's going to be a glorified body like unto the Lord's. He said, for it by it the elders obtained a good report. How many of them? Every one of them recorded here that received a good report. They got it by faith. They got it by faith. In fact, it says Abraham believed God. It was accounted unto him for righteousness. That's the way he got his righteousness. That's the way I got my righteousness. If you're here and saved this morning, that's the way you got yours too. It come by grace through faith. Let me just tell you. And though faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not of the things which do appear. God just made this whole world out of nothing. It wasn't nothing to start with. And he spoke it all into existence. And what does it say? By faith, Abel offered unto God a more perfect, a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of the gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet spaketh. The story of Cain and Abel. That's the reason Cain's sacrifice was, that Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain was not. Abel offered up Christ in his sacrifice. Cain offered up the works of his hands. You see, you're not going to get saved by offering up yourself. Let me just tell you, you've got to offer up a lamb. And the only lamb that there is that's worthy to be offered up is Jesus Christ. Let me just tell you. What does it say here? By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him for he, but he before his translation, he had the testimony that he pleased God. Pay attention to this next verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's a problem we have nowadays, brothers and sisters. We live in a nation, and we live in a nation that has a school system that teaches the things that we're talking about are fairy tales. What happened to me that night wasn't a fairy tale. You see, I can read, I read 40 of Psalms, I can read I can read 116 Psalms, I can read Paul's testimony on the road to Damascus.
later they experience is what I experienced that night. You see, this book is a book about people just like me. You say, well, all those people, no.
There's only one person in here that I'm not like, and that's Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's the one I'm not like. When you read about David, you say, boy, well, David's all this. You read about David, let me just tell you. David had corrupt ways, let me just tell you. You read about different ones, even the apostles. Paul having to correct some of them and different things. And Paul himself writes that he was a chief among sinners. Let me just tell you. That's a story about me. Let me just tell you. The only thing in this book is worth lifting up is God and especially Jesus Christ. Why? Because I'm only going to glory. Because Jesus died on that cross for me. And I got faith that he is the one that came and died for me. And that's my only hope. And without him, I'm going to split hell wide open. That's it, what it's about. He says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Sinner friend, let me tell you something. Because it's, in addition to that, this matches what I read over in the 40th Psalms. He's a reward of them that diligently seek him. Seek him. Keep seeking him. You say, well, he's not dealing with me anymore. Pray that he deals with you. You see, you're not waiting for nothing. Once he tells you you're lost, you need to diligently be seeking till you get it.
Amen.
Diligently seeking till you get it. There's no other hope. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. And that means mankind is what that word means there. It's not just talking about us men. It means mankind. There's no other thing. You look around you. It's like, there's homes this morning that was destroyed by the tornado 3 days ago. My wife showed me a picture of a young family. Man, woman, and a young boy, I believe it was. All three of them are in eternity. Every one of us here, we're going to die. Mm-hmm. We're going to die. I'm prepared. Not because of anything I've done, but because I went to God and asked him to do it.
Amen.
I went to him and I prayed and I sought him until that night he brought me to a place of repentance. Let me just tell you. And he saved my soul and I'm ready to go. And you say, what are you doing this for? You say, I do this because God asked me to. The only reason I preach. Didn't have no desire to be a preacher. Nope. Whenever he called me, I said I couldn't. I'm an engineer, but let me tell you something. Reading is not my first priority. It never has been, but it has become that. But communicating the gospel has become my first priority. You see? Because I want little boys and girls, men and women to be saved. I can't bring a message to you that's going to save your soul. Oh, no matter how much I study, no matter how much I pray, no matter how any of that. If a message this morning does any good, if anybody here is lost, it's because God takes the message and takes it to your heart. Well, I'll tell you, I've been preaching long enough now. Some of the awfulest messes I've ever made behind the bookboard, God's taken it and used it. And when I thought I did some of the best jobs I've ever done, those were the biggest flops. You see, it's right the opposite of what we see. This is like the apostles. He told them, the ones of you desire to be the leader or the highest rank among the apostles. He said, you come with the biggest servants. That's the way this thing works. It doesn't work like the world. Brother and sister, you ever considered your faith? No, have you ever... When's the last time you examined your faith? Set it up and look at it. Why? Well, that's what God's doing. looking at our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What do you mean about that? Why? Well, there are certain things that God has given each one of us that are here to save. You know, He's looking at our faith. You can consider it our offer to Him. When you come in here this morning, we're supposed to come in here and offer up a holy sacrifice that's holy and acceptable to God. One of the things He's looking at is our faith. You showed up this morning, which probably outdid some people that are not here. I know the one brother is sick, and there's nothing wrong with that. And people have to be other places sometimes on Sunday morning. But there's more to it than that. Did you come in here expecting great things from a great God? You should, because God is wonderful. Let me just tell you. He has blessed us, and we're blessed in this nation to no end. Certain things that God gave us when He saved our soul. Paul in the 1 Corinthians letter in the 13th verse, he goes over one of those things, but he covers three of them, which is included faith here. And here in the 13th verse of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says, "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity." I know I'm preaching on faith. Why is charity greatest? Love. This church comes together, and you can consider love as the mortar that holds this church together. And if you don't have that, you don't have anything. Let me just tell you. But he said, faith, hope, and charity. Let me just tell you, those are gifts from God. And He gave me faith that I'd save my soul. But what have I done with you, you see? It's something I'm supposed to take and I'm supposed to grow for God's honor and glory. And not for mine, for His honor and glory. We need to continuously grow our faith. Hey, you see, I have faith whenever I gave up Antioch back in October. Let me tell you something. I had faith. If our young men and women there would just get their boyfriend and girlfriends there, God was going to deal with them and save their soul. You see, that's kind of faith we got to have. And you see, God is still working on individuals. And I don't care where our churches are at. Let me just tell you, I have faith. God's going to save souls if we'll just take the message and hold on to the truth. Because that's what it's always took. It's not about the shouting, which is good when God comes into the service and fills the house. And there's rejoicing going on. But let me tell you something. I've been in some of the coldest service ever was. Even physically out in an old pen, and God come down and looked at a little girl come up, and she didn't tell us again. She went home. I don't have to know immediately. She come back the next night and said, "God, save my soul." Let me just tell you. You see, it doesn't matter where you're at. It matters about the message. And I've got faith that God is still saving. I've got faith if you get people in here and you believe that God's going to show up, He'll start working with them. And either they'll let the doors open to get out of here, or they'll fall down before a holy God and He'll speak peace to their soul and they'll surrender everything to Him. I've got faith in that. I'm not discouraged in these times. The Bible tells us where sin abound, grace must more abound. Let me just tell you. I've heard phrase that quite a bit. I got faith in God. Because, you see, when you start telling people the story, there's a lot of people undoubtedly know, doesn't have to be very far from here. Maybe here behind the church in some of these homes back here. People are having trouble. They're doing everything the world's telling them to do. They're doing all this stuff, brothers and sisters. And they ain't finding no peace. They ain't finding no rest. And they're not going to. Why? Because the only place you're going to find that stuff's with God. I don't care these young people here. I'll tell you that you've got teachers. And I hope you have a bunch of good teachers. I have no doubt that you do. But if they don't know God, they don't know anything. Let me just tell you. And you need to realize that they can tell you all this stuff about the world of Big Bang Theory. Let me tell you something. I've been through all the college stuff and everything, and I believe what's in this book right here. I believe God spoke and this world come into existence. I believe God set the rules, and I can prove that to you too. I can show things that they don't even consider. What's that? It said God over there in Genesis. It said God made the different things after its own kind. That's a rule God set. Man still can't break that rule. What do you mean? I mean, you go outside and you see different types of grasses, don't you? If this world was made because it just all come into existence by rain, you go outside and there'd be grass. But there's a fescue and there's bluegrass and there's lespedeasia and there's all kinds of grass out there. Same way with trees. You see, God set the rules. If this just happened a chance, you go out there and there'd be trees, there'd be a tree. But there's an oak tree and there's a maple tree and there's a different tree. You see? Same way with animals. They'd just be animals out there. But no, there's horses and there's dogs and there's different ones out there. Why? God set the rules. Man can't even, he's trying to break those rules. They're different farmers, bring different different kinds. You know what? Whenever they're bred and they come to life, they're sterile. They can't reproduce. Can't go any further. God made the rules. And they can teach whatever they want to. But when they teach and all this stuff happened by random chance, it don't fit anything. In fact, Paul said over in the Roman letter, he said, the creation itself says that there is a God. There is a God, let me just tell you. I know, because although he is all over this universe, he comes down and lands eyes in my heart. If you don't know that, you need to. And brothers and sisters, we need to act like, we're the children of God. We don't need to act like everything's coming to an end. It's all sad and bah humbug. Let me just tell you. I'll tell you something. I serve the King. And he's still saving souls. If they don't get saved the way I did, they're going to split hell wide open. I can't prove that. I can't open up hell and let them see it. I can't open up heaven and let them see it. But you know what? One day after a while, he's going to come back. And if I'm in the ground, or if I'm preaching, or whatever I'm doing, whenever he comes back, every eye is going to behold him. If you're here and don't know him this morning, let me tell you something. You're going to see the Lord. You're going to see him, and I ain't going to say the eastern sky because they will have trouble with that. He's going to appear. And all these big shots, everything, they're going to be running and trying to find a place to hide from the one that sits upon the throne. My Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father this morning. He's still in charge. He's allowing all this to go on. You say, why? If you're fearing loss this morning, it's because of you. You know why? You view another day, another opportunity to be saved. He is in agony because everything's going on. But he's give you another hope, another day of hope. You better take advantage of it. There's some young people that was they probably may went up went and got to church and the little boy, I believe it was a little boy, my wife showed me the picture. He didn't even look like he's holding a big animal. But his whole family is in eternity this morning. You could be before next Sunday morning. I can guarantee you one thing. If you don't know God, you're taking a serious risk. You say, well, this is not revival. Let me tell you something. If you're lost, the revival's today.
Amen.
And if you don't get it today, you better be thinking revival's tomorrow. Because there's going to come a time when there's not going to be any more tomorrow. One of the devil's chief things that he uses, he will one day you in eternity without God. I just put it off for tomorrow. And just put it off tomorrow. And hell, there's not another week left. There's not another month. There's not another year. All that stuff's gone. You one day yourself all the way into eternity without the gift of God. What does he say here in Corinthians later? He goes through all this stuff, brothers and sisters, and we got a lot of people wanting to do. If we just discipline our members, the Lord come back before His Spirit out on us. Or if we just take and do this, He'll come back before. Nothing wrong with disciplining members. But if you can't do it with love, let's leave it off until you get there. You got to get your heart right. Faith, hope, and charity. These three. You know, the three things the three things that the Lord told us to do is over in Matthew letter. And I don't know why this is on my heart this morning. I'll just give it to you the way the Lord gave it to me. He told us the three things we needed to do here in 28th chapter of Matthew. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. This is the Lord speaking. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word teach there means disciple. How do we disciple? We preach the gospel. That's all we can do. The Lord has to come in and intervene and prick the hearts and bring them to repentance. He says here, teach all nations, meaning the disciple, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost. That's the second thing. And if you're here and been saved by the grace of God and never have united with His church, you need to be finding a place to pray and follow the Lord in baptism. That's the next commandment after you're saved. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. That's the works we're supposed to be doing. And how we're supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be doing them with faith, hope, and charity. Let me just tell you, if we don't have that, we can't accomplish anything. Because we're doing things for the wrong reason. Wrong reason. Brothers and sisters, you want to see people suffer, you got to love them. You got to have faith that the Lord can save them. You got to have hope to hold out. They don't have to get saved today if it ain't the Lord's will. You got to have hope. If you keep doing what we need to do, that the Lord will bring them to the place of repentance in His time. I'm telling you, sinner friend, you better be going as if it's everything you got, and today's your last day. Why is that? Because if it is, you're in trouble. A trouble I can't even describe to you. And brothers and sisters, they ought to be able to come in here. We go over to James. I wasn't even going to touch this morning. Over here in the second chapter of James, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. What does your faith look like to God this morning? This is talking, this right here, this is not to lost people, this is to saved people. Faith without works is dead. Is your faith dead? It doesn't matter what it is from a standpoint. You know it's not if you're saved. But how is it to these young people here? How is it to them? See, God knows my faith's not dead. God knows, and I know my faith's not dead. But the only way I've got to prove it to them is to do what God said to do. Faith, even so, faith, if it hath not worked, is dead, being alone. Is your faith alone, hidden? Or is it active where people can see it? Not just here. How's it going to be tomorrow? What do you mean? I go into work, and this has took a long time. I go into work, I go in happy. It's going to be a long day. Oh yeah, it's going to be a long day tomorrow. But I go in happy because I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. I got a time and a place in the home that we just sold back a few months ago. That was my mom's house. I know the lady that owns it. I can take you right there. And she's letting me go in. I can take you to the spot where He saved my soul. I'm ready to go. Not because of anything I've done, because of what Jesus done some 2,000 years ago. About being a perfect man and going to the cross and dying for me. And you see, whenever He was there that day, my sins were there crying out, crucify Him. Not your sins. My sins were there. Yours were too. But sinner friend, and do you see it? You've broken God's law. You took and sentenced Jesus to death on that cross. And your sin, just like those people that were there that day, physically cried out, crucify Him, crucify Him. Your sins were there too. Cried out to crucify Him. You better take knowledge of that, because there's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Let's see if I can find it here. I believe it's over in the Philippian letter, and I'll be done, brothers and sisters. If I can see for just a minute. here in the Philippian letter, 2nd chapter in the 7th verse. Being made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, talking about Jesus, being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things of earth and everything under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You're either going to do that here in this side, or you're going to do it in eternity in hell. Let me just tell you, that's just the way it is. Why does God demand that us do that to Jesus? Because of what he did. Because of what he did. He volunteered to come down here and pay the price for sin. He took it all on himself that day. There at Calvary. And all kinds of things you can say about that. Maybe for another time. But let me tell you something. You've broken God's law if you're here this morning and lost. You've broken God's law. You're justly sentenced. All you're waiting for is for the sentence to be carried out. The only hope that you've got is to receive a pardon. That's it. You're guilty. I was guilty. 1974, I got a pardon. Not from the governor of this state. I got it from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God on high issued a pardon to my soul. That'll give you peace with God, let me just tell you. That's what the Lord put on my heart. Brothers and sisters, I hope something's been said to encourage and help you, because we need to be encouraged. Amen. There ain't no place to turn back. There ain't nowhere else to go. One time, Jesus taught a hard saying. He taught a saying about if you didn't eat his blood, eat his flesh and drink his blood, you didn't have no part in it. And all of the disciples went away. They didn't understand he wasn't talking literally about his flesh and about his blood. He asked them, said, "Will you too go away?" And I believe that Peter spoke up and he said, "Where shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life." Nowhere else to go. Nowhere else to turn. If our family and acquaintances and friends are going to be saved, they got to come to Jesus. Amen. Let's hold on to the truth and have full faith that Jesus is going to keep continuing to save until he comes back, because I believe he is. While we have a song, congregation, stand, I'll turn the service back over.